Well, good morning. It's good to be with you, church family, this morning and get to spend time in the Word together. I want to start us in Psalm 33, beginning in verse 6. And I want to do this to sort of set the tone for where we're headed this morning. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 6, listen to the words of the Lord. He says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." In November of 2018, I was on a trip to Burma, and on the way home from Burma, we had a layover in Beijing. And so, what was really cool, because it was my first time ever being there. We had about an 18-hour layover, and so we were like, well, let's do something instead of sitting in the airport. So we found a tour, and we got to tour the Great Wall of China, which, if you've never gotten a chance to do that, it was pretty amazing. So we actually got to get on a portion of the wall, and we got to climb it, which, quite literally, some places you actually have to climb. They're so steep, and you get to on top of the wall, and they took us to one of the watchtowers and let you climb, and you get on top of the watchtower and you just get to look out all over all the area, and it was absolutely incredible. In fact, it was one of those moments that you might call awe-inspiring. It was just so amazing. Well, while I was on top, there was a lady, a Chinese lady that was there. And I didn't know the language, and I didn't know anyone that was up there, but I saw she was walking around the corners of the watchtower, and she was looking out over the mountains and the landscape, and she was, you know, mumbling under her breath, and I couldn't tell what it was, but just by looking at her face, I knew what it was. Like, I could tell that it was, like, just the Spirit of God, and I got a little bit closer to her because I kind of wanted to see. And if you've ever been to another country, there's one word that's kind of universal, and it's the word hallelujah. Like, almost in any language, they use that same term, and I could just see her, like, looking over and saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And she'd go to another side, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And I was like, she's praising the Lord. Like, this is so cool. So I started following her around, and like, you know, she's praising the Lord, and I'm praising the Lord, because you couldn't help, like, but looking out over that, and it was just this sense of awe for who God is and all that God created. When we get to Genesis chapter 1, and the passages that we're going to be in this morning as we continue our study in Genesis, that's the posture that I found myself in this week. So studying and reading, and you can ask my wife, like, there's been countless hours and hours of just reading different things, but as I was reading the passage, it was like I became a little kid again, just kind of sucked into the story and sucked into the words of God in all of his power, creating everything, speaking it into existence. And so this morning, yes, there is a thousand things that we could talk about. There's a thousand little nuances about what this view and that view, and we could spend forever, and people have, debating and thinking through. But what I want us to do is to take that moment, take that time, and just to say, okay, yes, those are really cool and they're fun to discuss, but for our purposes, I just want us to be open and in awe of all that God has done. But with that said, I do want to get a couple of things out of the way as we jump in so that we can get to the all part, all right? So let's a couple of quick things to get out of the way is when we jump through the days of creation, which is what we're going to be. So Genesis chapter 1, Pastor Kevin last week started us in verses 1 and 2, establishing that in the beginning, God. And that's the foundation for everything. And so when we keep walking through the book of Genesis, that's the foundation that we're going to be building upon is that in the beginning, God, who is before all things, has always existed, and everything else flows from him. In the beginning, God, this God, created. Now, what we're going to see is that in the Genesis account is that he creates in 6 days of creation. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what these days are. I'm going to briefly just mention a few of the options, a few of the different understandings amongst evangelicals, and then we can chat later on about maybe our Hope community groups of, you know, where you fall and what you think. But one of the views is just what we call the young earth or the literal 24-hour days, and that is that when he's listing that on the first day God created this, second day Christ, like there were literal 24-hour days. And so then on one day he creates, you know, the heavens and the earth, and he creates light, and the next day. And so those are specific 24-hour periods of time. There's what you could call the old earth, or the day age, is that each day is not 24 hours, but each day is a geological time period. And so it's God creates actively, specifically, but he does so over a longer period of time. And so they would try to do that to sort of reconcile some of the understandings of the earth, the age of the earth, and things like that. But this would be like more like geological ages. There's others that would kind of tie in a little bit of evolutionary theory and try to kind of weave it together with their understanding of how God creates. And so some have been called, and some people don't like this term, but sort of theistic evolution would be the idea. And that is that God created the potential for life, and then he let it kind of evolve in its time. I'm not there, and I don't see a lot of support for that. But again, we can chat about that some other time. And then there's what's called the literary framework view, or that what's happening here is it's actually a literary device that was never intended to give us a specific time frame, but it's that. It's the idea that he uses days as part of his poetry when to explain the events of creation that God did create, but that the concern is not really days or times or any of those things at all. And there's a lot there that I actually agree with as well, because I think the point is not how many hours did it take for God to create the earth. Like, that's not... When Moses is pinning these things and he's writing down the record of history, he's not concerned with exactly did it take him 22 hours or 23 hours. Like, that's not the point. The point is that in the beginning, before there was anything, God. And this God spoke everything into existence. And so that's the point of this, is that God created. Nothing exists outside of him or apart from him. And that God created. Now we get to see in this passage, though, as it unfolds, we get to see how he creates, and we get to see what he creates. And that's where we get to Genesis. And so if you got your copy, my hope is that, like, just dive in. Like, just let the word of God speak over your heart as we walk through. I'm going to begin in the very first verse, and we're going to read this whole chapter together. Because I think it's going to be helpful for us as we go, okay? So Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding and seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which there is their seed according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that in all of your power and your wisdom, in your perfection, that you have created all things, and that you have created us, and that you have an incredible purpose behind everything that you create. So Lord, as we walk through your scripture, as we walk through your word, would you use it to just bring up in our hearts, to spring up in us a sense of awe for who you are and everything that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't that good? All right, we can go now, right? We can just go and just sit on the Word of God. There's a couple things that I want us to look at. The way that God creates, looking at God as creator. The first thing is that God creates with power. God creates with power. So we see a pattern. I'm sure you heard it. It says, "And God said, and it was so. And it was good." God speaks, and it was so. God doesn't suggest, God doesn't ask. God speaks, and he literally speaks creation into being. Listen, only God can do that. Only God can speak into existence that which previously did not exist. The word create, and Kevin pointed this out last week for us, is that the word create, the word bara, means to create something out of nothing. It means there was nothing except for God, and then he speaks everything into existence. Now, we can't do that. Like, nobody else in all of history can do that. Now, we can make things, and we can build things. Like, you should have seen the dudes yesterday at Man Camp building this shed. Like, they just literally, like, I was like, I turned my head, and they built this whole building, because they're awesome, and they can build things, but what are they doing? They're really just assembling things that God has already made. So they didn't create, but they can build, because we can't create things. So this week, my daughter Emma, she randomly, in the middle of the day, it was like Tuesday afternoon, I walked in the kitchen, and she's got all this stuff out, and she's making cinnamon rolls. Which, by the way, no argument from me. That's okay. I'm good with that. And, you know, any time, basically. There's no wrong time for cinnamon rolls. But she's just like, I don't know where she got the idea from, but she found the recipe, and so she started making them. And it was awesome. It was great. So she put all the ingredients together to bake these awesome cinnamon rolls. And we ate a lot of them, and it was great. But she didn't create those things. She put them together, right? You took all the ingredients and she made this great thing. We can be creative, but we can't create. Only God can create and speak into existence. And so there's a difference between create and make. To create means to make something out of nothing. To make means to just assemble things that already exist. And so God is the only one who creates out of nothing. He does so out of his power. Hebrews 1:3 says that God upholds the universe by the word of his power. Romans 1:20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." So when we look out in nature and creation, then we get to actively see the power of God at work. The things that you see did not happen by accident. They happen on purpose, and they happen through the power of God. So God creates with power. But number two, God also creates with perfection. God creates with perfection. And here's what I mean by that, is that everything that God creates and everything that God does, he does perfectly. So he doesn't make things accidentally. He doesn't, you know, say, oops, shouldn't have done that one. It's everything that he does beautifully and perfectly, which means that when you look out at creation, that's how he wanted it to be. When you look at the trees and the birds chirping, like, that's how he wanted it to sound. When you look at the sun set, and when you look at the beautiful colors, like, that's God in his wisdom had designed it to be that way. Like I wanted this to look this way. And everything he does with perfection. And we get to see it in these days, the days of creation. So we get to day one. And just so we're tracking together, verse one actually is sort of the beginning of day one. So you have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we see, as Kevin talked about last week, that in the beginning, that when God's creating and fashioning the heavens and the earth, that it's without form, and it's empty, or it's void, meaning that he hasn't yet given it its shape. And so you have, like, you could think of it like Kevin said, like a potter who's got this clump. He plops it down on his work table, And then he looks at it and it says, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And then what does he do? He's like, okay, and now he begins to beautifully form and shape and fashion and make the earth the exact way and the universe and everything in it the way that he desires. And you get to verse 3 and it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light didn't exist until God speaks it, and then suddenly we get light. We get this creation of light, which I love this because you actually don't get the sun until day 4. So we have the light, the existence of light. And again, there's a lot of different discussions on why this is, but for me, what I love about this is that, like, the sun isn't the source of light. God is the source of light. The only reason the sun gets to shine light is because God says so. And so God says, oh, hey, by the way, sun, this is my light. You get to shine it. And, oh, by the way, moon, you get to reflect that light when it comes back. But God is the source of light. So I love the fact that you get here on day 1. Sun doesn't even exist yet, and yet we have light. So God creates light. And again, we don't have a ton of time to do this, but on your own time, in John chapter 1, when we went through our series in the Gospel of John, John reflects on this passage in the beginning when he's introducing Jesus. And so when he's talking about all that, who Christ is and all that he has done and his attributes, he reflects on Genesis and says, like, yeah, you remember the light that was in the very beginning? It was like, just like Jesus spoke light into existence, in the same way he stepped into the earth to be the spiritual light of the world. And so he talks about how this light shines in the darkness and separates the darkness from the light. All those are pictures and mirrors of what happened here in Genesis. So Jesus would say, I am the light of the world. If anyone would believe in me, he will no longer walk in darkness, but walk in light. So credible, though, because we also see that Jesus is active in creation. When we look at all the passages in John 1 and Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1, where all of creation was made by Jesus and for Jesus. He's active in creation. And so then you get that he's created light and separated for night and day. Then you get to day 2, beginning verse 6, and he says, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters, which is a little bit confusing for us. But you have this picture where God is shaping an atmosphere. Like, he's shaping the separations of the waters in this clump of earth that's not quite formed yet into the space and the universe and the waters above. And he's creating an environment where life can live and where life can thrive. And so he's creating and fashioning the firmament, the sky. Now he says the word heaven. If you got other translations, you might see heaven or heavens or the skies or the firmament. It's everything. When you look up in the sky, when you look out, that's what you're seeing. And that's like the heavens or the skies, the heavens that declare the glory of God. That's what he's talking about here. He's making this separation from what's down here and what's up there and what's all around us. What's crazy about this is that we don't have any idea how big out there even is. Like, can you, like, think about that for a minute? Every time that we build a telescope, they find more and more stuff. So, like, when the invention of the Hubble telescope, which created all kinds of new possibilities for expanding and seeing how far the galaxy goes out there, and then just recently, if you're tracking with the they have the James Webb telescope. You guys seen this now? It's just gone into orbit like this year, and some of the first pictures are beginning to come back and show, and they're like, whoa, it's even bigger than we thought before that. And they're just realizing it's like you need a bigger telescope, because every time it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, showing us just how big God's creation is. And I'm telling you, it's like, it's bigger than my mind can even pretend to try to grasp. And that's what's led people to say, okay, well, then there has to be, like, there has to be other planets with other life forms out there, because it's too big just for us. It's just too big for us. What if, though, the purpose of the universe is not for us? Like, what if, think about this, maybe for just a minute, that maybe there's more to just the universe than just our little existence right here. What if the universe is more about pointing to the glory of the one who made it than just our little moment right here in time? What if the universe is about God, not about us? And so we get to this passage in Psalm 33 that by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and he puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Here's our response. What should our response be? Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And so I'm reading this, and I'm like, so maybe the purpose of the earth is like Job figured out when he says, like, Lord, I've spoken of things that I don't understand. And I'm like, this is far too wonderful for me. And so he says, I repent in dust and ashes. And he takes his hands and he puts them over his mouth and says, I don't understand. Like, I can't even begin to grasp how big you are. Then, day three, beginning in verse 11, it says, then he's now starting to bring some form to the earth. And it says, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry ground or dry land appear. And so we have the formation of the earth, and then the growth of life and plants and seeds and trees that are beginning to grow on the earth, giving beauty and providing food and all the things that God's beautiful earth provides. Think about the mountains and the landscapes that began to be to take shape. And God's looking at it and is like, oh yeah, this is good. This is really good. I don't know what your favorite view is. Like, maybe you're a hiker and you like to go up on the tops of mountains and just look out. Maybe something like this is your favorite view. Just looking out over the mountainscape and enjoying all that God had made, it untouched by anything that we've created or made, just God. Or maybe it's this, maybe it's more like the beach. I think one of my favorites is the beach, because I get to sit out there and you can look and it's like it never ends. It just keeps going and going and going, and you can hear the water rushing on the shore. And I began to think about the vastness of the ocean that God created, because it says here in day three that then he creates the seas, and he gathers the waters together in oceans. We were doing a devotion with our girls, and it was just trying to help us grasp the sheer volume of the ocean, which is, again, blowing my mind. And so if you think about it this way, if you think of the length of a football field, right? So think of a football field. I can kind of grasp that, right? Go Tech. I can see a football field. And so it said, now think of 17 football fields. Can you think of 17 football fields? It's a little bit harder to see. I can't exactly see the end of it, but I know that it's there. I can see 17 football fields. So think 17 football fields in length, 17 football fields in width, and then 17 football fields wide. Now think like an aquarium, right? So you fill that with water. I think I can kind of grasp that a little bit. Until I find out that you need 317 million of those to contain the oceans that God created. Right now, it's bigger, right? It's bigger now. I can't see that. I can't picture and grasp all that God has created. And then Isaiah 40 says that God measures the oceans in the palm of his hand. How big is our God? But then it gets even bigger. We get to just zoom out a little bit. So then you get to day four. God says, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. And now he's creating the sun and the moon and the stars that he's placing in the universe. And I think about the song that we just sang, Mark. You are holy, great, and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are. And that he creates the sun in such a perfect way that and you've heard this before, that if we were closer to it, we would burn up, and if we were further away from it, we would freeze to death, right? Like, so God creates it perfectly so that we can live here on this earth. And as we rotate around it, then we have seasons and changes that are just such beautiful parts of God's plan. And now think about the galaxy. So again, seeing, you look at this picture, this is the Milky Way galaxy. And so somewhere in there is a little blip, which is where our solar system is, which you can't even see it in the picture, but we're in there somewhere. But then I was reading, it says that there is, that scientists believe that there is between 100 and 400 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. Here's how many that is that if you counted one star per second, it would take 2,500 years to count the stars in our solar system. And then I read that they think that there are billions and billions more of galaxies just like this one with their own sets of billions and billions of stars. And one author said that God did not just place one or two stars, is that he lavished the universe with stars and planets and beautiful luminaries for us to see. And then you think Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. So when you go outside, look up, because it's shouting to us. It's shouting the glory of God. Well, then you get to day 5. So now we got the sun and the moon and the stars. And we get to day 5, and now he's going to create the creatures of the sea and the birds in the air. And again, reading this week, I'm just blown away. I'm telling you, I was like a little kid, just like, this is so amazing. Like, this is incredible. There are, that we know of, like 200,000 different types of sea creatures in the oceans, like different types of fish. And so here's a picture of just a you know, collection of some, and that's probably just like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different types, and there are 200,000 different types of species of fish and sea creatures that are in the ocean right now. And scientists estimate that 91% of our oceans are completely unmapped, unobserved, and unexplored. So that's like 9% of the ocean accounted for. That's crazy to me to think about all the vastness of the things that God has created in there. And then he creates the birds of the sky. Now, we like birds in our house. We have a lot of them. And now, thanks to the Doyles, we have chickens. And so we have, and I didn't mean that sarcastically. I mean, thank you. Like, we like them. We're a fan. We're a fan of the birds. So we like, so when I was in Brazil this past year, we were leaving one of our ministry sites. I look in the tree and I see a toucan, like a real live one, not on a cereal box. I saw an actual toucan. And I was like, oh, this, like, y'all seeing this? A toucan over there. And I was like, I wanted to get my phone out and take a picture, but I was carrying all this stuff. And so I was just like geeking out because I saw a real live toucan, which like I was blown away that there's like 5 different types of colors just on its beak. Like, how amazing is that? And so if we're going back to Brazil, if you want to see a toucan, I can't guarantee it, but you tell people about Jesus in Brazil and maybe you might see one of those. We're going back in March, by the way. There's a plug. Start saving your money now. We're heading there soon. But God created these birds in incredibly beautiful ways. And I saw this picture of the rainbow lorikeet that has like 8 different types of colors all over. It's just beautiful. And when, so God said, hey, this is how I want to design it. Like, I want to design this bird to fly, and I want it to look this way, and it's going to be really, really good and beautiful. And so God created this beautiful creation. So God creates perfectly, and he creates beautifully all the things that we see. But then thirdly, God creates with purpose. God creates with purpose. You know, nothing that God does is random, right? Nothing that he does with random. He does everything with purpose. And so then you get to day six. What I love about God here is that he, so if, again, thinking the literary structure of this passage, the first 3 days, you know, so and so we get to verse 1 of Genesis, and it says that the earth was without form and void or empty. So it's without form, and then God, the first 3 days, he begins to give it form. And then it was empty, so then the next 3 days, he begins to fill it. So he fills the oceans, and he fills the skies, and he fills the universe, and he fills the earth, and he begins to bring fullness to all that he creates. And then you get to day six, and he begins to create all the things that are, all the living creatures that are on the earth according to their kinds. And then he creates man, us, in his own image. What's interesting, though, is that he creates man differently than he creates anything else. And I'm not going to steal Kevin's message from next week, because he's going to be talking about more what it means to be created in the image of God and what that difference is, actually is. But there is a fundamental difference between the animals that God creates and mankind that he creates. And that's not a knock on, like, we love animals. Like, we have a lot of them, and we love them, and they're so awesome, and they're cool, and they're companions, and they're great. But God created you and me differently, with a different purpose. And that we would shine and mirror the very image of God. And so this is sort of a tag for next week. You won't want to miss next Sunday as we dive in a little bit more about what that looks like. What's the difference between us and the animals? Why? How did God create us differently? What is God's plan and purpose for us as image bearers, as bearing the image of God? But God creates with specific and beautiful purpose. You know, there's a lot of different arguments for the origin of life. If you flip through the TV channels, you'll find something on Discovery, something on history, something, and they're all exploring this. So where does this life come from? What's the true secret? What is the secret code hidden, buried in the, like, there's just always this desire to find the beginning, the origin of life. And what is agreed upon almost universally is that there's a beginning. Like if there's a universe, if there's us, then somehow we came to be. There is a beginning. And that's usually where the agreements stop at that point. And what's crazy to me is that when we see something, we know that something made it. Right? Like we know this instinctively. And so if I were to say, like, man, that's a really cool, like, keyboard. Like, that's really great. And I'd say, hey, Leah, where'd that come from? And she'd be like, oh, it just appeared here. Like, it wasn't here, and then it was here. We'd be like, that's dumb. No, that's not how that happened. Somebody made it and designed it. I can see the sticker on it. And then somebody went out and ordered it and bought it. Like, it's something did this. Or like if you're on the beach this summer and you see a sandcastle, what do you say? Wonder who made the sandcastle, right? Like you don't just be like, man, like the tidal, the wave came in and then, poof. No, like we don't do that. We instinctively know that if there's a sandcastle, somebody built the sandcastle, right? If there's something, then there's something that created or began it. We agree with those things until it gets to the origin of life. And then suddenly, no, it just happened by accident. It was just some sort of explosion and it just sort of happened. I was reading an article from an atheist, and he was so frustrated over the, I guess people's just search for meaning in life. Like, just so frustrated. Like, I'm sick and tired of all these people running around trying to find meaning for living. Like, meaning for existence in life. But listen to what he said. He said, we exist. I'll tell you why we exist. We exist only because an odd group of fishes had a particular fin anatomy that could transform into legs for terrestrial creatures. That's it. You might yearn for a higher reason, but none exists. Like, that's it. Stop it. Stop searching for meaning. Stop it. The only reason that you're here is because there was a clump of fish that started growing feet. That's it. Or is it because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? And then God said, let us make man in our image. And it was so. And it was really, really good. So why do we exist? Why are we here? Well, the Westminster Catechism asks it this way. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So listen, you and I, we exist for him. We exist because of him, and we exist for him. We get to day 7. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God finished his work. And it says, then he rested. Did he rest because he was tired? No, God doesn't get tired. He doesn't. He's perfect in every way. He doesn't expend his energy. He doesn't grow tired. Quite literally just means it was complete. Like, he rested means he stopped because it was finished. And then we get to see later on that he has even more of a purpose for a Sabbath, a rest, so that it would point for us later on to see that there's an order in the way that we work and the way that we rest. And then even deeper than that, there's a even deeper spiritual meaning that you see played out in the New Testament as well, ultimately, as we look to the day when we are with Jesus in eternity in heaven. But this is what I love. This is God's account of the creation of everything. This is it. This is God's account of creating everything. And you might want more. You might say, he could have gone into a little more detail about how this happened and how that led to this, but he doesn't give us that. He gives us this. You know what that means? It's sufficient. It's sufficient for us. And so one day, I can't wait till eternity when we have to, like, maybe part of eternity is going to actually being able to see, like, how it all unfolded. Maybe we get to, like, rewind and watch when it was all, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know that for thousands and millions of years to come in eternity, we're going to be able to sing the praises and the glory of God out of all that he has done. Worship team, you guys come on up. We're going to close out our service time together. But I want to think about our response. What is our response to this? Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers. Again, so think about this. He's fashioning. He's putting together. When I look at your heavens and I look at the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Look at the posture. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Pastor Kevin pointed this out last week. He said, you know, this God who is all of he's perfect in his holiness, and he's perfect in every single way, and he is transcendent, and he is other than us, and he is all-powerful, and he is all-knowing, and he is all of those things, and he is also good. And this God invites us in. And more than that, he actually comes near to us. He draws near to us. So here's what I think our response should be. I think our response should be jaw to the floor. Like, you love us? Like, you create us? You care for us? God, you're so good. and we don't deserve it. But in this moment, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to stand in awe of who you are. And I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to thank you. So, Lord, that's what we do in this moment. I don't know all the details of how it all worked together, and I don't know fully, I don't understand why you chose to set your affections on us, why you chose to plant inside of every single human being your image. I don't understand all of that. I don't understand how you're patient in the midst of our rebellious hearts. I don't understand it all. And so in humility, we just bow before you, in all of you. And Lord, this morning, would you just stir our hearts in that way? Like maybe in a fresh way. Stir our hearts and our affections for you, because you are good. And everything that you do is good and perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, would you stand with us? We're going to sing together. And that's my prayer, that would be your heart. As we stand in awe of Him and worship Him for who He is, for how great that He is. And then I would also say, and maybe you just want to come down here and you just want to have a moment to pray between you and the Lord. You want to grab somebody and say, will you come pray with me? Maybe you're here and you've been asking questions. You don't, none of this makes sense. You're not sure where you're at in your relationship with Jesus and you want somebody to pray with you. I'll be right here. I would love to take a few moments to just point you to Jesus and show you how you can begin that relationship with Jesus today. Because the truth is that the God of the universe, who created and spoke everything into existence, loves you so much. He loved you, and He demonstrated in this way that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this God stepped out of heaven, stepped into human history, so that He could be the atoning sacrifice for our sins that separate us from Him. And He wants to have a relationship with you. So maybe you have questions about that. You want somebody to maybe open a Bible and explain what that looks like. That's what this time is for. I'll be right down here. I would love to chat with you. If you want somebody to pray with you, we have others that are here that are available. We love you, but take this time to spend it with Jesus.